slightly. "It is not always a good thing, and you know it." Now she was crying and rooting through her purse in search of a Kleenex in that half-annoying, half-endearing way she had. He handed her his handkerchief, and she used it to wipe her eyes. "You can say what you want. You can be mean, you can cross-examine me if you want, Billy. You can even spoil the time we just had. But I love you, and I'm going to say what I have to say. When people start to lose weight, even though they're not on a diet, it can mean they're sick. It's one of the 7 warning signs of cancer." She thrust his handkerchief back at him. His fingers touched hers as he took it. Her hand was very cold. Well, the word was out. Cancer. Rhymes with dancer, and you just shit your pants, sir. God knew the word had bobbed up in his own mind more than once since getting on the penny scale in front of the shoe store. It had bobbed up like some evil clown's dirty balloon, and he had turned away from it. He had turned away from it the way you turned away from the bag ladies who sat rocking back and forth in their strange, sooty little nooks outside of Grand Central Station, or the way you turned away from the capering gypsy children who had come with the rest of the gypsy band. The gypsy children sang in voices that somehow managed to be both monotonous and strangely sweet at the same time. The gypsy children walked on their hands with tambourines outstretched, held somehow by their bare, dirty toes. The gypsy children juggled. The gypsy children put the local frisbee jocks to shame by spinning 2, sometimes 3 of the plastic discs at the same time on fingers, on thumbs, sometimes on noses. They laughed while they did all those things, and they all seemed to have skin diseases or crossed eyes or hare lips. When you suddenly found such a weird combination of agility and ugliness thrust in front of you, what else was there to do but turn away? Bag ladies, gypsy children, and cancer. Even the skittery run of his thoughts frightened him. Still, it was maybe better to have the word out. "I felt fine," he repeated for maybe the 6th time since the night Heidi had asked him if he felt quite well. And damn it, it was true. "Also, I've been exercising." That was also true. Of the last 5 days, anyway. They had made it up the Labyrinth Trail together, and although he'd had to exhale all the way and suck in his gut to get through a couple of the tightest places, he'd never come even close to getting stuck. In fact, it had been Heidi, puffing and out of breath, who'd needed to ask for a rest 2. Billy had diplomatically not mentioned her cigarette Jones. "I'm sure you felt fine," she said, "and that's great. But a checkup would be great, too. You haven't had one in over 18 months, and I bet Dr. Houston misses you." "I think he's a little dope freak," Halleck muttered.
"A little what?"
"Nothing. But I'm telling you, Billy, you can't lose almost 20 pounds in 2 weeks just by exercising." "I am not sick."
"Then just humor me."
They rode the rest of the way to Fairview in silence. Halleck wanted to pull her to him and tell her, sure, okay, he would do what she wanted. Except a thought had come to him. An utterly absurd thought. Absurd, but nevertheless chilling. Maybe there's a new style in old gypsy curses, friends and neighbors. How about that possibility? They used to change you into a werewolf or send a demon to pull off your head in the middle of the night, something like that. But everything changes, doesn't it? What if that old man touched me and gave me cancer? She's right. It's one of the tattletales. Losing 20 pounds just like that is like when the miner's canary drops dead in his cage. Lung cancer, leukemia, melanoma. It was crazy. But the craziness didn't keep the thought away. What if he touched me and gave me cancer? Linda greeted them with extravagant kisses, and to their mutual amazement, produced a very creditable lasagna from the oven and served it on paper plates bearing the face of that lasagna lover extraordinaire, Garfield the Cat. She asked them how their second honeymoon had been, a phrase that belongs right up there with second childhood, Halleck observed dryly to Heidi that evening, after the dishes had been done and Linda had gone flying off with 2 of her girlfriends to continue a Dungeons and Dragons game that had been going on for nearly a year.
and before they could do more than begin to tell her about the trip, she had cried, "Oh, that reminds me," and spent the rest of the meal regaling them with tales of wonder and horror from Fairview Junior High, a continuing story which held more fascination for her than it did for either Halleck or his wife, although both tried to listen with attention. They had been gone for almost a week, after all. As she rushed out, she kissed Halleck's cheek loudly and cried, "Bye, Skinny." Halleck watched her mount her bike and pedal down the front walk, ponytail flying, and then turned to Heidi. He was dumbfounded. "Now," she said, "will you please listen to me?"
"You told her. You called ahead and told her to say that. Female conspiracy."
"No." He scanned her face and then nodded tiredly. "No, I guess not." Heidi nagged him upstairs, where he finally ended up in the bathroom, naked except for the towel around his waist. He was struck by a strong sense of déjà vu. The temporal dislocation was so complete that he felt a mild physical nausea. It was an almost exact replay of the day he had stood on the same scale with a towel from the same powder blue set wrapped around his waist. All that was lacking was the good smell of frying bacon coming up from downstairs. Everything else was exactly the same. No, it wasn't. One other thing was remarkably different. That other day, he had craned over in order to read the bad news on the dial. He had to do that because his bay window was in the way. The bay window was there, but it was smaller. There could be no question about it, because now he could look straight down and still read the numbers. The digital readout said 229. "That settles it," Heidi said flatly. "I'm making you an appointment with Dr. Houston." "This scale weighs light," Halleck said weakly. "It always has. That's why I like it." She looked at him coldly. "Enough bullshit is enough bullshit, my friend. You've spent the last 5 years bitching about how it weighs heavy, and we both know it." In the harsh white bathroom light, he could see how honestly anxious she was. The skin was drawn shinily tight across her cheekbones. "Stay right there," she said at last, and left the bathroom. "Heidi, don't move," she called back as she went downstairs. She returned a minute later with an unopened bag of sugar. "Net weight, 10 pounds, the bag announced. She plunked it on the scale. The scale considered for a moment and then printed a big red digital readout. 12 pounds. "That's what I thought," Heidi said grimly. "I weigh myself too, Billy. It doesn't